Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. And the only place you should be betting on these sports is at betonline.ag. Whether you're betting on a basketball game, or the Golden Globes, or The Bachelor, or the Oscars, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. BetOnline has hundreds of props with real-time odds and almost anything you can imagine, and of course, the 24-hour online casino. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. And what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Believe in Clippers podcast. Jesse Cass and Alex Acker here with you as we are sitting here at the All-Star break, a forgettable finish to this first half of the season for the Clippers. We're here to break it all down. We're going to talk about this last road trip, and we're also going to give our grades for the first half of the season for the team, for the coach, for the players. We got a lot of good stuff here. Alex, thanks for tapping in, and we're here for another week on the Believe Podcast Network.
Definitely back. Happy to be back, man. Let's get this thing rolling.
So we've talked so much throughout this season, and obviously record-wise still solid for the Clippers. It's obviously a really disappointing kind of last week and a half. They're 24-14 now, and it's half a game behind the 3 seed, a game and a half behind the 2, but yeah, they sit in the 4 seed all of a sudden now, after being in really the top 2-3 for most of the first half of the year, going 1-4 in this latest road trip. We know there's been a lot of injuries, a lot of talk about late game execution. What did you see during this road trip, which was obviously a disappointing one for the Clippers, and kind of what didn't go right in kind of this past week or so for you?
I would just definitely say it wasn't a nucleus of a team. A lot of last minute things that were happening for the guys that were really supposed to take over the game and stuff like that. Paul George been out during the first game, and then you got Kawhi, skeptical from that standpoint. Last 30 second calls, so that pretty much puts a dent in any man's game from that standpoint. If they're not actually able to play, that's a lot of points, a lot of rebounds, a lot of depth that you're missing from those two standpoints.
It's an important point to make, and I don't think there should be excuses for losing to some lesser teams, but at the same time, when you're missing key pieces and multiple ones, you mentioned Kawhi Leonard, all of a sudden very late scratch against Boston, and then Marcus Morris, who was really playing well, gets a concussion in the second quarter, so that's two of your top guys out. And then the next game, it's Paul George and Marcus Morris. So anytime you're missing really some of your top guys of that caliber, the margin for error really shrinks. And I think we've seen that over the past couple of games and, a packed stretch that really left the Clippers on the short end of a couple of close games.
For sure, yeah.
And we know that it's such a small sample size still, but late game offense for the Clippers, clutch minutes, how they describe it, under 5 minutes in a game that's within 5 points or less. Clippers right now near the bottom of the league in those markings. And again, you throw in the caveat, they've played very few of those minutes, but what in particular have you seen that has led to those kind of struggles in late game situations where the Clippers offense kind of grinds to a halt and isn't that free flowing incredible offense that's near the top of the league for most of the rest of the game?
No, I think it goes all the way back to, the last season. I don't know if it's a plague that they go through or some type of red stop sign that they always find where they can't get over this hump there in quicksand, where they just literally can't put the ball in the ocean. And it's been happening far too long. And I think they, have to figure out how to make this work. They have, you know, switched the whole roster around where they got fresh new blood, fresh new energy into this point from Batum and everybody else that's actually playing key minutes. But for the most part, they that's the biggest thing, you know what I mean, that everybody sees that the Clippers have is just they cannot finish from that standpoint when it's that 4-minute mark.
Yeah, and one thing I've noticed, and I think some people have written and talked about it as well, is just kind of the shot profile or the shot selection of the team. And I think, you know, you obviously take it when shots are falling. And in the Washington game, you know, all season long, the Clippers were one of the best three-point shooting teams ever. But we saw that Washington game. A lot of good looks, granted, open looks, threes that they like, that they normally take. But really 5-6 possessions in a row where they get the drive and kick for a three. And, you know, if it's not falling, you would think one or two of those times, try to get to the rim, get to the free throw line. I think that's something that's been not only missing in the clutch, but the free throw attempts for this Clipper team are way down. And, you know, there's reasons for that. They obviously shoot more threes now. They're a better shooting team. There's a little bit different look to this team without Montrezl Harrell, who got a ton of free throws. But free throw attempts for the Clippers, last year they were number one in the league. This year they're second to last, 29th. So a huge dip in them getting to the free throw line, which I think especially in late game situations has, you know, cost them when you can get a stop in terms of the clock, get points when the clock is stopped and kind of reset yourselves. I feel like that part has also been missing in certain clutch moments as well.
Yeah, man, you hit head on the dead on the head from that standpoint. My dad always said, you live by the jumper, you die by the jumper, for sure. And you got, you know, your big man from Serge Ibaka actually living by the jumper. And it's not falling for him, especially for the last two games. You know, he's been playing 28 minutes the first game, probably less minutes from that standpoint. And, you know, he's not getting his touches that he normally got in Toronto. But for the most part, you know, the free throw line is definitely not being touched at all. You know, so that's the biggest thing, exactly what you said, going to the hole. The shots aren't falling, you got to do something else. You got to put it inside, and they don't have nobody as far as a big presence that can actually get the ball inside, and they're getting wide open shots with their feet set so they can knock it down, you know. Everything's done around key players like Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, for the most part, and if they don't have these key pieces, then, you know, people are trying to step up. Each player's trying to step up their own unique way and try to take over, but that's not really their game. And they're getting caught with that.
Yeah, and I think you look at kind of the Milwaukee game, I think is probably the best example, the Boston game as well, but just simple things that I think on the good side of things are fixable, but you would hope that, you know, the same mistakes don't repeat themselves, where a lot of these things in terms of the shots they're getting are simply attacking the wrong part of the defense, where you look at the Milwaukee game. Of course, you want the ball in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard's hands, but they're running a pick and roll with those two together when it's Giannis and Chris Middleton, the two best defenders, guarding them, whereas you see other teams do it all the time. Of course, the Lakers are good at it. We saw, you know, Cleveland do it against the Warriors in the past, but you exploit the poor defenders on the floor and put them in the pick and roll where you can then get the mismatch instead of having your top guy go against the best defender. So instead of attacking Dante DiVincenzo and making him defend, you know, you're going up against Giannis or Middleton. And I think, you know, that's something that they can easily improve upon in terms of who they're looking to attack defensively. And then when they do, decision making, which I think takes it to the Boston game where they did make that adjustment. Paul George got the switch with Kemba Walker on him, but as we said, with the free throw line, settled for a three over his smaller defender instead of attacking him and taking him to the basket. So I think it's a combination of recognizing the matchups and kind of making the right decisions and being smart about how you attack those matchups as well, which they do for most of the game. But as you said, it's kind of these 3-4 minute increments where, for whatever reason, the wheels kind of stop turning and it results in some poorer decisions.
Yeah, for sure. That's basketball 101 right there. Attack the weakest man, the weakest defender, and that's your offense from that standpoint. You play around that. But yeah, you know, when games get close, you know, shots get short, you know what I mean? they tend to timid, and you miss one or two, and that stays with you through the course of the game, you know what I mean? Instead of playing freely, You're missing shots that you normally hit, and you're passing up shots, not even looking at the rim. So guys are actually seeing that, and they're trying to have somebody step up, and it's not working right now. So they got to figure out how to actually get backdoor layups, how to get to that free throw line, most importantly, which you just said too as well, and actually how to put the ball in the post where they can be a presence from that standpoint as well. You got great sizes and depth as far as Nicholas Batum. You know, if Giannis is guarding Paul George, who the heck is guarding Batum? So he has to be a threat from that standpoint also, putting it in the post and using his length and his weapons as far as his long athleticism, making easy baskets, easy plays.
And that's a good point too. And I think one of the areas that can improve going forward with whoever it may be, but of course, you know, Kawhi is the guy you think of when you think of getting into the post, and really when he gets to that spot in the mid-range, it's almost automatic. I think we've seen more in late-game situations, defenses kind of pushing him out just a couple of feet further than maybe where he's comfortable. We know he can hit from anywhere, but instead of kind of being in his office, you know, 10 feet away, he's at 17 feet, and that, you know, that money mid-range is just a little bit further out and a tougher shot to make. So I think getting better sets to get him in that position, and other guys where you said there could be mismatches as well, I think is something that they can take advantage of going forward.
Most definitely.
So we know, we mentioned the record, fourth place in the West. They've obviously, their first three-game losing streak of the year, they were the last team in the league to lose two in a row. So, you know, don't want to act like the sky is falling. It was a disappointing stretch. It's probably a very well-timed break, an all-star break for them. But what is, what's your level of concern? Is it a, you know, out of 10 for this team? You know, where would you put your concern level? Is it super high? Is it middle of the road? What do you feel?
I don't know. When it gets to, you know, all-star break, everybody's head is thinking differently. You know what I mean? You probably got somebody already in all-star break thinking of, you know, Bora Bora as far as vacations and, you know what I mean, planning those out. You know, I've been there before, so just getting away. You've been in the bubble so long the whole season last year, and literally just actually finished the whole season last year, and just coming back within not even a month span and playing a whole new game. A whole new season. So the breath of fresh air of actually relaxing, recharging your batteries is definitely in your mindset, and just trying to finish up those games as quick as possible, whatever the outcome may be, is probably in somebody's viewpoint for the most part, especially the veterans, you know. Again, I think for the most part, to answer your question, from this standpoint on, all the way into these last couple of games, they've been playing pretty good, really good. I've seen some great flashes of great chemistry, and I'm talking about coming from a team that's actually putting a lot in front of them, where they had to make a bulk of their nucleus around guys that are brand new, even the coaching staff, you know. So they've been doing really good, and I think they're a sponge. They're listening to the coaching staff. They're trying and applying new things, and you can see everybody's in the right chemistry as far as getting ready towards the playoff run.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's somewhere in the middle, right? We've seen kind of the war, if you will, between Clipper fans on Twitter, where I feel like half the group of fans is panicking, the other half is saying it's completely fine. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle, right? I think there are things to be concerned about, late game things that we've talked about a little bit here on the show, and obviously, you know, maybe they can make an upgrade through the buyout market or through the trade market, but at the same time, on the other end of the spectrum, when Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have played together, they're 18-6 on a, you know, 62-win pace in a regular season. So health, I think, more than anything, is still the biggest thing for this team, and that in itself is a concern. But, you know, this team is not going to reach its potential unless it gets fully healthy, and I think that's obviously the main thing. But overall, it's probably, like we said, somewhere in the middle.
And can I say one more thing, too, that's alarming more than anything is going towards playoffs, you need a bench, you know what I mean? And just looking at the stat sheet from past couple of games on, that you don't know what you're going to get from the bench, you know, as far as somebody that's going to be consistent. And I think that's probably my biggest red flag more than anything, besides Lou Williams, who, you know, who is a star in itself. You don't know what you're going to get out of that standpoint. So I think that's going to be my biggest alarming red flag more than anything, I would say.
Yeah, and it's obviously a new group. Like you said, they're integrating guys. But consistency is huge. And we'll go over it here, obviously, in these grades. But hopefully in the second half, I think something that could help out the bench unit is, again, it sounds like a simple thing, but getting the team healthy so you can have the normal starting rotation. You're not moving guys up from the bench into the starting lineup and changing roles. I think if people can even just have a, you know, a 10-15 game stretch where everyone is in a defined role, we can see the thing kind of get rolling a little bit more where guys are comfortable in the spots they're going to be in.
For sure.
All right, so we know Clipper Nation, it was an ugly stretch, but take a deep breath. The All-Star break. We'll see how they do. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we've got grades, letter grades for the team, the coach, the players, where we break down the performance of this first half of the season. So we'll be right back on the Bleed Podcast Network. Want to give a brief moment to talk about our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair that you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity. And it also protects sellers with a verified return process. And for the sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers of $100 or more, making it free to sell or flip your collection. Go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. All right, we're back here on the Bleed Podcast Network, and we're going to get into our grades for the first half of the season. Clippers a little over the midway point in terms of the amount of games they've played, so it's the perfect time to grade the team. Top to bottom, pretty much. You know, there's a few players who really haven't played that we'll leave out, but for the most part, we'll get through it all. So, Alex, tell me, where should we start? Should we start with the bench? Should we start with the coach, with the team overall? Where do you want to begin?
Oh, man, let's start with we can go with the roster all the way down to the guards, I would say. Go from there. We can start with the bench. Let's get the bench going on.
Okay, we'll go with a little used bench player, so, you know, the grade, you know, probably doesn't matter that much. But we'll start with Patrick Patterson, a vet, doesn't play a lot, but he's coming here and there. What would you give Pat?
Pat, man. Pat's definitely Pat. You know what I mean? He's just going to really just be there, a locker presence from that standpoint. Not too many minutes, I would say. He's just going to be a consistent veteran, you know. You don't expect a lot out of this guy, 10-year veteran. So whatever he gives is going to be positive in that standpoint. There's no pretty much grade-wise, I would say probably like a B. I don't know. It's a solid, you know, from his standpoint, what he gets. Yeah,
that's, I think we're on the same wavelength. I gave him a B as well. Like you said, just steady, knows his role. He can come in. I think he started a game or two where – came in and made some three-point shots, so he can do that, and then also just be a guy who's kind of a good locker room guy. So I think a B, solid. Like you said, it's not, he's not going to wow anybody, but he'll come in and do his job.
Facts. Yeah, true.
All right, let's go to Luke Kennard. We know that shooting percentages are good, but he's obviously been disappointing so far this year. What do you give Luke Kennard?
Oh, man, I give his agent an A+. I'll start right there.
No, just playing. I mean, you're not wrong about that.
I'll give his agent an A+. But Luke Kennard is, I don't know, man. He's probably got like a D for me. You know what I mean? Then, in fact, we're talking about the money that he's gotten and what we saw as far as flashes that he's done with the Detroit Pistons. You know, we know that this guy can actually play at a high level, you know, and can be, you know, one of the top leading guys off the bench. And he hasn't showed it, you know. And due to the fact he has been injured a little bit, it's been a setback. Who knows if he's been playing with the injury or not for the time being that he had to sit out. But for the most part, yeah, man, you gotta play up to your salary more than anything, for sure.
Yeah, it's funny. When I did these grades yesterday, I initially had Kennard at a D as well. But I bumped it up to a C minus because the game against Washington was probably his best game of the year, and it was finally like, okay, this is the guy we've been waiting for. He had 4 threes. He had some no-look passes. You know, it was basically the player that we want to see. So hopefully that's a precursor to the second half of the season and him getting more comfortable and healthy, like you said, because it was finally like, that's the guy that we've been waiting for. So hopefully that shows itself more, but at the same time, you know, it has not been a great start. As we said, he's still shooting the ball well, but it's more about the aggression, getting involved in the offense and setting the table for others. You know, everything that he can do has been, I think, just under what he would want for himself as well. So I think, like you said, you're a D, I said C minus, but we're kind of on the same wavelength with that one as well.
Okay, so.
All right, what about the youngster, Terrence Mann, who's been getting more and more minutes as the season has gone on? What do you give Terrence?
Oh, man, Terrence is the second year. Terrence has been playing really well. He's really confident now. I can see his posture has changed a lot, you know what I mean? I think that's with the help of, you know, having somebody like Chauncey Billups in your ear and giving you that confidence of playing more, and dependency was something that he definitely needed, you know, where he can go out there and be himself. I see him making unbelievable passes, getting into the gap and really being efficient, you know what I mean, and not being scared and timid at all. He's taking shots that he can hit. Unfortunately, he's not making the ones he's taking it at a high level, at a high clip, but at the same time, he's taking them, you know what I mean? So that's going to be something of a great presence when he does start knocking these shots down. But for the most part, I give him a B2. B plus, I would say about a B for sure.
Okay, yeah, I went a little higher. I gave Terrence an A. I just think he's been so strong lately. As you said, he's starting to take three-pointers with more confidence. He's now hitting 38% of his threes, so he's become a threat, or at least capable on that end in terms of his shooting. He's been a great defender. Rebounder and tangible guy. I just think, you know, it would be hard at the start of the season to predict if he could make it into the rotation or not, and he's just kind of willed his way into there and played really well. So I'm gonna give Mann an A because I think he's done a really nice job.
For sure, I'm not mad at you at all, and I just love his presence on the other end of the floor too, playing defense. He's really shown that he wants to be a threat on that defensive end too. So that's huge.
It's huge, and like you said, with the defense, he's a bigger guard too. So obviously, Patrick Beverley's an incredible defender, and we've seen, you know, if he gets in foul trouble, gets hurt, who on that bench can really fill anything similar to that? And you know, you get Terrence Mann, who's a bigger guard who can defend wings as well. I think it just brings another dynamic and obviously great value to the team.
For sure, yeah. I think so too.
All right, let's go to one of the big guys off the bench, probably the big guy off the bench, Ivica Zubac. What do you give Big Zoo in the first half?
Big Zoo, man, I'm going to let you take this one. You go ahead and start it off first. I don't know too much about Zoo. I haven't seen too much of his game, man. I really haven't been focusing on him. But from what I've seen, I don't know, man. What do you think?
I'm going to give Zoo a B+. I think he, you know, at the beginning of the year, he struggled a little bit, but he really lately has been so good for the team. You know, he's playing just about 20 minutes per game, but unlike last year when he didn't get any fourth quarter time, he's getting a lot of the fourth quarter minutes this year, and he's done really well with them. You know, he's just real solid in how he defends the rim, great rebounder, you know, just really a great team player where he just does things that help the team always. You know, he's going to be in the right spots. He's going to make the right plays. He's going to play hard every single minute he's out there. So I think after just, you know, the first week or two where he was kind of figuring out his role coming off the bench and adjusting, he's been really strong. Yeah. So I'm going to give him a B plus.
No, I'm not mad. I agree. For the most part, you know, he definitely rolls hard to the basket, and they need that kind of presence where he can actually take up a lot of slack of rolling and somebody has to help, because he's a great finisher underneath the post, and he's a great presence, you know. I definitely agree with you with that B for sure.
Okay, let's go to keep it on the bench. Let's go to Reggie Jackson. What do you think about Reggie this year?
Reggie Jackson, man, he's been a tweener in a way, though. He's been starting and he's been on the bench, you know. He hasn't really been so much of a, I shouldn't say a threat, but just more of like a bad seed as far as defense this year. He's been a lot more calmer, too, as well, too. And just filling his role and not being so erratic is a definitely plus that I've seen. Jackson, I would say about a B too for sure. I'm giving everybody a B. I don't know why. I said about a B.
Yeah, this one for me.
Crazy spurts. Go ahead.
No, I'll say this one for me may just be expectation based and based on last year where we know he struggled at times, but I'm gonna give Reggie a big fat A plus because I think Reggie has been so good, like you said, and being so versatile where. Especially the past week we saw it. It's like, oh, Kawhi or Paul George are out. Reggie, you're starting. And then he comes in and drops 25 points. You know, he's been able to be so good in whatever role this team has wanted him in. Like you said, he's still not a great defender, but he's at least competing. He's hitting the three ball at a ridiculous clip. You know, he's just been, in terms of the value of expectations and then him being a minimum contract guy, where you're talking about play after your contract, he's well beyond, obviously, that minimum deal. And, you know, the team has been really lucky that he's played this well, where, you know, it didn't reflect this week when they struggled, but you look at those previous road trips where they had injuries, you know, the game against Miami where they had both Paul George and Kawhi out, those type of games, Reggie Jackson has stepped up huge. So I'm going to give him an A plus.
Let's go. He had 25 against the Celtics.
He did. He had a season high 25 against the Celtics. So, all right, what about the other backcourt long stay on the bench? Of course, our man Lou Will. What do you give Lou?
Lou Will. Lou Will has not been literally a huge threat as far as the offense end, which is okay. You know what I mean? From that standpoint, I think he's holding his bullets for something that really counts, and that's the playoffs. Lou's really, we've seen a great transition from Lou from offense and taking a role and just playing defense. And to be honest with you, I've been seeing Lou go right a lot now lately. You know what I mean? So he's been actually been balling from that standpoint. Lou's always been an A-plus guy for me, man. Just his character and just the way he actually becomes a veteran, you know, every single year and taking on different roles and not forgetting himself as just being a ultimate bucket in a way. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to get a bucket no matter what. So I definitely give Lou an A just for being Lou Williams himself.
I mean, I can't be mad at that. We both know. We both love Lou, so I'm not going to argue that. I had Lou at a B. You know, he got off to a slow start as well. But like you said, he's perfect locker room guy. He's someone who accepts his role. You know, when same thing like Reggie, when guys went down injured, he kind of found his rhythm and picked up his offensive game to what we're used to seeing. It's been a little more up and down. I think we talked about those free throw numbers. He's one of the guys who's not getting to the line as much. Maybe that's, like you said, kind of saving things for later in the year. But at the same time, it's still been a nice and solid Lou Will year. I think he can, as long as he's not, you know, being lackadaisical with the basketball and turning it over, he's such a threat still offensively and such a key part of their chemistry. So, I give a B for Lou, but, you know, Lou is such a key piece.
Mm-hmm. I think in a way, too, because we know Lou was scoring so much. So for him to get, like, 19 to 17 points, it almost feels like a natural, like, LeBron James dominant, like he's going to get 35. Like, we just expect that of him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we overlooked that point of him just getting a quiet 19 and 17 points. where really people struggle to even get 2 points in the league. So, yeah, that's how I look at Luke. Like, he's definitely going to be a bucket from that standpoint, averaging 12 points a game. So, he's solid, man. Always been solid. Double digits off points.
Yeah, no doubt. So, all right, let's round out the bench with Marcus Morris, who, of course, made the decision to come off the bench when he came back from injury to let Nick Batum stay in the lineup. But what do you feel about how Marcus Morris has been this year?
I definitely say, hey, before I say anything, Marcus Morris was, man. He's been playing pretty good, just all around, you know, been a presence on the defensive end, shooting the ball a lot better. I think it's because he came in, you know what I mean, a full season, and he knows his role. You know, I seen him struggle when he first came in, when we first started off, he was struggling from that 3-point range. You know, but now he's hitting, you know, 2-3 threes a game, and you know, that's expected of him for sure. Though, but at times though, I do see him taking some wild, outlandish threes due to the fact that he probably ain't shot in a while. But for the most part, man, this guy's been playing really good this year.
Yeah, we're on the same page with that one. I gave him an A as well. And like you said, it's the 3-point shooting is really the reason why. Like you said, some of them might be tough shots, but he's shooting 46% from three. It's near the top of the league. He's been absolutely outrageous from downtown. So you have to give him an A for that production that he's provided. You know, we talk about late game offense. He's obviously missed a couple of games recently with that concussion, but he's someone who's proven that he needs to be on the floor late because of the threat he brings. He's not afraid to shoot the ball in big moments. He can obviously score in the mid post as well, but what he's become as a 3-point shooter, and as you said, brings toughness defensively, I can't give anything but an A.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so let's move into the starting five. We'll start in the front court. What do you feel about Serge Ibaka so far?
Serge Ibaka. Well, definitely Serge Ibaka did not bring that tenacity as far as what he had and what we saw when he played with the Toronto. You know what I mean? That's the Serge Ibaka that I've known and I've seen that was dominant from that standpoint. He's a little shy from that standpoint. I would definitely say Serge is coming along a little bit slower than what we expect. You know, especially on the defense end as well too. So I would have to say a C, Serge, man. Just by me knowing Serge as being a champion and him going all out from that standpoint and coming over here and not bringing that, I would definitely have to say a C for sure.
Okay. No, I definitely understand it. I think Serge has had, you know, I think like you've said with some other players, I think he's been taking his time and being methodical with what he's doing. So I gave Serge a B. I think, like you said, I think there's good moments. I think there's poorer moments. But even with that said, I think the numbers are still pretty solid for Serge. You know, 11 points, yeah, almost 7 boards. It feels like he should be shooting a little worse. He's shooting 51% from the field and 36 from three. I think for Serge, like you kind of alluded to, his interior play, you know, obviously when he gets the rim and dunks, he's making shots. But so many misses right at the rim on little hook shots or you know, bunnies. So I think that has to improve going forward. But overall, I think he's been very effective in what the Clippers wanted him to do in terms of stretching the floor and providing that presence. And I do feel like as a guy who's been through it and gone all the way and won a title, I think he's been kind of taking his time. So I think it makes sense. But I do expect more from him in the second half too.
Yeah, facts, sure. Definitely agree.
All right, let's go to Nick Batum. What do you feel about Nick?
Yeah, Nick. I'm gonna be honest, like I didn't really just expect Nick to play defense at a high level. And he's been doing that, you know. As far as the points on the board, it's a bonus to me. We know he's a great threat as far as offensive when he's shooting that 3-point ball. For the most part, I think Nick has been doing an amazing job, given the fact that he's coming in here with one thing on his mind, and that's actually doing any and everything as far as winning the championship, you know, and he's been doing that from that standpoint on, and the guy's been playing 12 years in the league, and still in the starting lineup and still actually guarding the best defenders and knocking down shots that he does, I definitely have to say about a B+ for sure. B+.
Okay, yeah, kind of the same rationale that I had for Reggie Jackson. I just think because even though we both expected Batum to be pretty solid, I just think about how good he's been, I'm going to give him an A+ as well, just because kind of the level that he's shot and helped out offensively, I think, has been such a surprise. So I'm going to gonna give him that grade, that A+ as well, that I gave for Reggie, for the same reasons of just kind of filling that role as well as you could hope for.
That's for sure, yeah. I know it's more room and more push in him, though, man. I know he's a quiet little dude, man, but for the most part, we've seen him play some unbelievable basketball, and he's capable of doing that, bringing it for sure. So I'm expecting more things out of this gentleman, and I know he's going to bring it for sure, especially coming during playoffs.
Okay, let's go. Got three players left, and then the coach and the team. So let's go Patrick Beverley. What do you give Pat?
Pat Beverley. Oh, man, Pat Beverley's my guy. This dude is he's a bug, man. Oh, man, Pat Bev, he's really been shocking, especially hitting the three ball a lot, which is phenomenal. Something that, you know, guys don't actually really respect, and he's really been knocking it down, taking his time a lot better, being more confident, shooting that three ball, even with a hand in his face, you know. So I really like what I see with Pat Beverley. As far as from right now, All-Star break, I definitely give him about a B+ for sure, the way he's been shooting the ball.
Yeah.
I know he's been playing defense too.
Yeah, similar. I gave A-, but right in the same range. I think what you alluded to, being able to shoot the three ball at over 42%, you know, what he provides defensively, I think, you know, his health, obviously, is really important. He's been healthy lately. That's not always the case, but I think that, you know, is what puts it in that B+, A- range, rather than being a little bit better than that. But I think he's been really solid this year as well.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to the two stars. We'll start with Paul George. What do you rank Paul?
Man, I definitely say Paul has been an A+ for me right now. We already said it from the beginning. He already had an interview where he was like, I want to be, you know, in the talks of being an MVP. Just the saying that out loud and speaking into existence, I respect that, you know, and actually carrying that all the way up into this moment right now. This guy's been really phenomenal when he's on the court, when he's healthy, and when he's able to actually get it going for sure. And every single game, Paul George has been bringing it for sure. So he's been shooting very well at a high level. And there's nothing too much to say about a guy that's been in the game this long. We just want him to actually keep this up for sure and keep it on the level with Kawhi Leonard and not actually, you know, take that 50-50 ball as far as, like, you know, Kawhi taking 50% of the slack, he's taking 50% of the slack, and not just relying on Kawhi from the standpoint. But that's speaking to later on down the line. From right now, I would say an A+ for Paul George for sure.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we're not far off. I had A-, but it's been such a strong season for Paul George. I think, you know, recently some of the late game struggles is probably why I dropped it to an A-, but, you know, that's nitpicking at this point. I think he, like you mentioned, he stated he was going to come back really strong. He's done that. 24 points a game, 6 boards, 5.5 assists. He's basically been the point guard for the team in his role in terms of handling the ball, and he's been tremendous in that regard. So, yeah, it's obviously somewhere in the A range for Paul George and what he's done.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
And that brings us to Kawhi. What do you have for the Claw?
The Claw's an A+, man. he's a natural A+, man. If there's other grade than an A, you would get it. You're talking about a gentleman that has no flaw in his game at all, you know what I mean, except, you know, the injury, the bug, the plague that he's been doing, going in and out. From that standpoint, though, Kawhi's been phenomenal. He's speaking of a guy that actually is just living around the 20-point range, 30-point range every single night, and there's nothing you can do about it as far as a defender. So you're going to get that every single night out of this guy. And big shots, you know. So Kawhi is definitely A plus.
Yeah. Play. Yeah, I had an A as well. I mean, I think, you know, Kawhi, you know, you can debate what number because there's so many elite players in the league, but whatever, if he's number three, number four, number five, top two, whatever. He's one of the best players in the league. And he, you know, he belongs in that conversation because of what he does, as you mentioned, every single night. He's going to put up numbers and big numbers and be a huge factor in your team winning or losing. So I think, as you said, Kawhi is really the engine of the team and his performance, so he's definitely getting the A.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you give Ty Lue? What have you seen in Ty Lue's, you know, first half of his season as the Clippers head coach?
You know, it was kind of alarming to me a little bit due to the fact that, you know, he was trying new things in the preseason. We saw that happening a lot. And just trying to figure out where guys can be placed in the beginning as far as how they can actually be used the best way for their athleticism and for their ability. And it's coming along really well, you know what I mean? And you got a guy that's actually giving slack to his assistants too as well. And you know, he's really been a sponge, and I feel that he's really just going to be in the way, and is giving the whole structure for the team to actually run. He's not going to be in the way, I should say. So I really like what he's doing up until this point. I really do. I would say about an A. I definitely would say an A for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I gave Ty a B+. I think, you know, again, just taking into account kind of the recent struggles, I guess, which, as we mentioned, some could be just as labeled to not having the healthy bodies, just some of the late-game execution. I do think, like you said, he did in the beginning of the year. I think he's still kind of experimenting and tinkering with things. So, as we said, the level of concern is, like we said, probably somewhere in the middle. But overall, I think it's been strong, and I'm hopeful for kind of the adjustments that he can make in the second half. But overall, I you know, put him again at the higher end of the spectrum with a B+.
For sure. I think he's in a hot seat right now, and he's been doing very well from that standpoint, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and what do you give the final one, the team overall, just an overall team grade for the first half of the season?
Man, I would have gave them a B, not being bad, but I mean, just the last couple of games is really putting a little strain from that standpoint. Just going back to the old Clippers standpoint, you know what I mean? And definitely didn't want to see that towards the end of this run, because they've been playing so well due to the fact they've been having injuries, and we've been saying that a lot. But, you know, it's really been showing some character out of these gentlemen. And the last two games, I would have said a B+ for their standings, but I would say a B- for right now. I definitely would.
Okay, yeah, again, like I said, I think we're on similar thought process. I was going to probably, before this last couple of games, be a B+, but yeah, I would say a B overall. I think the last road trip was obviously disappointing, and kind of the late-game struggles are a concern that need to be addressed. So overall, you know, the record is strong, but probably not as good as it should be. So I'd say a B. I think it's somewhere, you know, you could argue they've won games when they were not healthy they shouldn't have, and then that kind of evened itself out. So I think a B overall, with, again, hoping that health and everything comes together in the second half and they can kind of live up to their full potential.
Facts. No, that's true.
All right, so there you have it. Alex and I giving you our letter grades, and we'll see, you know, what happens in the All-Star break. We know Kawhi and Paul George are in the All-Star game. You know, who knows if either of them will play a lot. Hopefully not. But, you know, and then we get back basically a week later and get back to some basketball. But I think, as we talked about, it's probably a perfectly timed break in terms of just letting this team kind of take a breath and try to get themselves back to full strength and fully healthy and recharged for the second half.
Yeah. No, for sure. Are they on the same team? I forgot even. Are they on the same team?
No, actually. I think Paul George is on Team LeBron, and Kawhi is on Team Durant. So maybe we'll see them guard each other. Maybe we'll see them out there against each other, which would be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be interesting for sure, yeah.
All right, well, we'll check out that All-Star game. Hopefully a safe, fun All-Star weekend. Of course, everyone out there, make sure you follow Alex on Twitter, on Instagram, at Akwright. You can follow us in any of these shows on Believe.com and the Believe Podcast Network. So, you know, we'll be back at it again next week, where hopefully the recharged Clippers will be ready to go.
Let's get it, man. For sure. I'm waiting for it.
All right, so we'll talk to you guys again next week on the Believe Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network, and the only place for the show for every team in LA and more. We believe in our LA teams. Do you believe? Go Clips.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.